Welcome to Gospel Mission Church's Message Podcast. We pray that God will meet you in this time with a fresh revelation of His love for you and that you will be challenged to align with the amazing plans that God has waiting for you. Here's this week's message from Pastor Brenton.
We are, in this series on revival, and we chose to name it Open the Eyes of My Heart. Claude said last week, and it's a phrase that really rang in my head when he said it. It was kind of one of those like, whoa, that's good. But he said revival happens when we our eyes are open to see who God really is. And I thought that was bang on. And not only see God, but see the state of our heart, see the state of the world around us, see our purpose in God. Revival happens, I think, when we see all of these things clearly. And my question to you today is, are you seeing clearly? It's a loaded question, a big question. I remember in my own life when I realized I'm not seeing clearly. It was in grade three. I was moved to the front of the class in the front row, and everything was extremely blurry. And I was like, man, this school thing is hard. You gotta decipher what's on the board. And I was struggling, but I had no idea that I wasn't seeing clearly. And I remember, I think it was my teacher that pointed it out to me. I think you need to get your eyes checked. My heart just like sank. I'd made fun of my older brother for getting glasses, and now I needed glasses. But glasses are great. Now I have contacts, but they're still great. But it was a wild thing, because somewhere along the line, I have no idea when, but somewhere along the line, I realized I was not seeing clearly. And I think it's safe to say that all of us aren't seeing fully the glory of God. That's part of being on this earth and this world of sin. In the Bible, it says right now we see dimly as in a mirror, and then we will see face to face. So there is going to be this 2020 vision upgrade that we will have. Our eyes will be healed. But for now, we're in this place where we see and know in part. First John says this too. It says, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared." So again, we're going to get this upgrade. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. So it's going to be really amazing. It's going to be completely transforming when you see God. We're going to be able to reflect His image accurately. And then it says this statement, it's really powerful. "And everyone who thus hopes in Him," if this is your hope, if one day you're hoping that you'll see Him and you'll be like Him, you're going to enter this process now. It says, "Everyone who thus hopes in Him purifies himself as He's pure." It's your desire not just to look like Him one day and just be like, man, I'm excited to see clearly, but you want to see clearly now, right? You want to live for Him now. Then it says in verse 4, "Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that He appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin." So Jesus came to deal with the sin problem. And then it says, "No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning, and no one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or known Him." So the reality is that when we live a life that's not pleasing to God, and live a life where we're walking in sin, practicing sin, where there's a vision problem, there's a clarity problem in our life. We're not seeing God as He is. We're not seeing His truth. And all of these things, I think, actually kind of create a cycle of broken fellowship with God. And when we're not fellowshipping with God, we end up sinning more and more. And I think the opposite is true as well. When we see God clearly, and when we fellowship with God, when we're abiding in Him, and in Him there's no sin, we're led by His truth, we're empowered by His grace, our eyes are open, and He's helping us to live this life that's pleasing to God. He's changing us, and our lives are set apart for God. And I think in this place, it helps us even to see God in a whole nother way. Like it says in Matthew, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." and Hebrews 12, 14, without holiness, no one will see God. So again, we wanna try to live lives that are pure because we wanna see him, we wanna fellowship with God, and we wanna walk in his ways. And sin is this thing that it really hinders our ability to see God. It hinders our fellowship with God. In 1 John, I'm going to quote 1 John a lot, and your homework is to go home and read the book of 1 John. So that's your homework. Can you say yes, teacher? Yes. Awesome. That's your homework when you get for the week. It says, God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie, and we don't practice the truth. When we're truly fellowshipping with God, we're not walking in darkness, right? But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. We have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with his people. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So this is the place that we want to be, right? Walking in the light as he is in the light, in fellowship with God and others. 1 John 2 verse 11 says this, but anyone who hates a brother or sister is in darkness. You can't claim you're fellowshipping with God if you have active hate for others in your life. You're in darkness and walks around in darkness. They don't know where they're going. That's what happens when you walk around in darkness, right? If it was pitch dark and we'd be walking around, we would be blind. And then it says that, because the darkness has blinded them. And so what happens with sin in our lives too is that sin has a darkening effect on our hearts and on our minds. And it clouds our vision of seeing God. It breaks this fellowship with us and God and leads us to be lost. It says this in a few places in the Bible. I'll read a few. It says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Romans 1:21 says, as a result of their sin, that's giving context, their minds became dark and confused. Ephesians 4 says they are darkened in their understanding and separated from a life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts. So this is talking about people who haven't given their life to God, don't believe in God. But at the same time, I think sin can have the same effect in the heart of believers. How many of you can say that you've been in a place where you've, you know, put your faith in God, but your heart has been hardened by sin? I've been in that place. You don't listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and you tune it out, and eventually you don't really hear it much anymore because your heart is hard. And God doesn't want our heart to be hard. He wants our heart to be sensitive, where when we enter sin, we realize, oh, this is not where he wants me. I don't want to, not because of legalism, but it's because I don't want to break that fellowship with God. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I was made for him. I was transformed by him. I was taken from the kingdom of darkness, brought into this new kingdom. And I value this relationship with God. And so I don't want to walk in the darkness. And sin, again, what sin does is it blinds our understanding and we lose our way. Again, if we're walking around in darkness, good luck finding your way. You're not going to. And Proverbs says this, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full day of light. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. My son, pay attention to what I say and turn your ear to my words. Yes, Solomon kind of has a parent moment here. He's like, son, daughter, pay attention here. Don't let them out of your sight and keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. And then he says this, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Gives that as the highest thing we need to guard is our heart, because we're gonna live our life from our heart. If you're not guarding your heart and what's going in there, you're going to live from that place, right? So you have to guard your heart. And he goes on to talk about different parts of the body. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. He gives this warning because we want to keep our feet from evil, right? And really sin, if we commit sin, we have this opportunity to come back to the ways of God, but what we don't want to do is just keep walking in sin, keep practicing sin, where our hearts are hard and our understanding is blinded. And again, in that place, you know, we become like grade 3 Brenton, and we're not seeing clearly. And maybe we don't even realize that we're not seeing clearly, right? I didn't know that I wasn't seeing clearly until someone told me, you need help. Go to an optometrist. In Matthew 6, this is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. And then it says this, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? It's kind of a confusing saying, but it's saying, if you are full of darkness and you think you're full of light, that's not a good place to be. You're in this state of deception where you are off track, you are lost, you are blind, and you're not able to see. And this is where the enemy is tricky, right? He's the deceiver, and he masquerades as an angel of light, and he wants to bring us off this path so that our fellowship with God is broken. And in that place, this is where, if we choose to follow our heart, it can be terribly wrong, right? If we're in the darkness and we're following our heart, the GPS of our heart is not going to lead us in the right place. Jeremiah says this, the heart is more deceitful than all else. Yikes. That means your heart can trick you, right? Your heart can make you think, oh, you're so good. You're on the right track when you're not. It says, and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? So this is a little scary. Like, we have a heart that's deceitful, it's sick. What do? I love where it says, I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind. So we have a solution here. We're not just confined to a life of blindness and where we're deceived and walking the wrong path. God knows our heart. And so this is where we need to be people that do what David did in Psalms 139. David says, search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So again, what David's doing here is he's acknowledging, God, you know my heart. You know what's rotting in there, and I might not. So I'm presenting myself to you to examine me, because man, I might be lost. And if I'm lost, God, lead me. Get me back on track. Show me the way, God. How many of you have done this? Awesome thing to do, often in your life. But I want to tell you, it's a little scary, right? Especially if you know there's something ugly in your heart. Sometimes you don't want to do this. It's like if something's rotting in your fridge. Me and my wife have a horrible habit. We just don't clean our fridge out. We're just like, let it go. Let it go. Just burn it. And then it gets worse and worse and worse and stinkier. And then we're like, we're definitely not checking it now. That thing is ugly. Check your fridge. Check your heart. God wants to help you. He wants to heal you. He wants to clean it out. He has a solution. He sent Jesus to heal our hearts, to forgive us, to bring us out of darkness into light, to fellowship with him. He wants to bring you back into fellowship. He wants to lead you because he's a gracious God that wants to show us the way. And so this is what we must do in our lives. We must say, God, check my heart. God has also given us the Holy Spirit, right? says in John 16 that when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of its sin. This is his grace that convicts us of sin. I'm glad that he does this. Because if he didn't convict us of sin, you know, we would just sin without being convicted, right? So it's good that the Holy Spirit is wanting to convict us of sin to lead us on the right path. God has given us the word. And in Psalm, the word of God, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. It brings clarity. It illuminates the way. It shows us where we need to go. In Hebrews, it says this, for the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes the innermost thoughts and desires. Other translations say it reveals the inner thoughts of the heart. How many of you have read the Bible and it's read you? That's what we want our Bible to do. We want it to read us. Like this past week, I was reading the Bible and it reads you. It reads your heart. Brenton, correct this in your life. And it's like it's doing open heart surgery right there as you're drinking your coffee in the morning. What a gift that is, that the Holy Spirit wants to do that in our hearts, wants to lead us and guide us into truth. And God is also on this journey, God has also given us each other. You guys are all here at church. Why? Right? Why did you come to church? There is some acknowledgement because you're here that you recognized this isn't a solo journey. Like my relationship with God is not just to myself. It involves other people, and other people are important of that. So I need to leave the comfort of my home, get up early, get my kids ready, because this is key. There's something about living in community that's important if we're going to follow God, right? And Hebrews says this in Hebrews 3, verse 12, see to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage each other daily. That's what we're called to do. As long as it's called today. So as long as we have that chance, we need to be doing this. So that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. So again, God has put us in a community so that we can be sharpened by the community, right? Because all of us, if we have hearts that can deceive us, that means we need other people to point out our blind spots. Amen? Can we say amen? Amen. I mean, we don't want that because we're always right and people are always wrong if they correct us, right? But we need that. And we can all lose our way. We can all fall off this path and all of a sudden we're not seeing clearly. And this is where other people in our life, as they point us to Jesus, are a gift from God. Because sometimes other people see our blind spots that we don't see. Have you ever seen someone else's blind spot? Yeah. Right? Like, wow, they don't know where they're going. They're not seeing, right? And they're like, how do you not see, right? If you read the Bible, if you look at Samson, it's like, come on, man. Delilah is not good, bro. Leave. This is not a good relationship. She wants you killed. But Samson's just blind, right? He's totally blind. He doesn't see it. And sin ends up blinding Samson. Actually, literally blinding Samson, right? But he didn't see properly. Even David, a man after God's heart, fell into horrible sin. He takes Bathsheba, someone else's wife, and sleeps with her. Then he gets her husband killed. Ah! And then he doesn't see his sin. I don't know how, but I do. He was blind, right? And this is where God sends Nathan, the prophet, and Nathan tells him this story. Hey, I have a situation, king. There's this rich man that has many lambs. And then there's this poor man that has one lamb and loves that lamb and cherishes that lamb and does everything with that lamb. The rich man has a visitor over for dinner, and he takes the poor man's lamb and slaughters it to feed this visitor, leaving him with nothing. And David says, that man should be killed. And Nathan says, you're the man. That's you. And in this moment, David gets clarity. All of a sudden, he realizes, oh, I'm way off course here. And he confesses his sin. He says it out loud, I have sinned against the Lord. We read Psalms 51 as well, which is another confession. He asks for God to restore his heart. And this here too, I just want to bring up the power of confession. When we confess our sin, this means that we see it, right? You can't confess your sin unless you see your sin. And in confession, you're seeing your sin and you're confessing it. But you're not just confessing it because you see it. You're confessing it because you're saying, this is wrong. I'm acknowledging out loud that this is wrong. And it's kind of a signpost for you saying, I'm off track. I need saving, God. I need your grace. I need your mercy. Help me, God. And ultimately, I think what this does is it breaks that cycle of blindness. The cycle of blindness that leads to darkness, that leads to a broken fellowship with God, confession breaks that, because when we confess our sins and repent, we also get to return to God, right? God, because of the grace of Jesus, doesn't say, time out, you're not returning to me, sit in the corner. No, he restores us, right? He brings us back to him so that we can enjoy that fellowship. And so this is where, you know, I think Satan will work hard to blind us of our sin. And then he'll also work hard, if we see our sin, to convince us, do not confess that sin. This is a sin that no one else is struggling with. You can't open up about this. You're gross and sit in the corner, away from other people, away from God. That's what the enemy will want us to do. And again, sadly, this is where sin thrives. Right? In the darkness is where the enemy has a hold on our life. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. Sin wants to remain unknown. It shuns the light. In the darkness of unexpressed sin, it poisons the whole being of a person. This can even happen in the midst of a pious community. It can happen right here. And I'm sure it is happening, right? And at GMC, you know, we have a value of authenticity in this church. We don't want to show up and you don't need to put on a face that you have it all together if you don't. Right? Because at some level, none of us have. Does anyone have it all together here? You can literally go home. It's not really a sermon for you. None of us have it all together. So this is why, right on our website, we talk about authenticity, and this is what we say. No one's perfect. No church is perfect. At GMC, we strive to be real about life, its hardships, and the struggles we have. From our sermons to our small groups, we aim to cultivate a transparent community where people are open and honest and humble. Together, we journey toward healing, freedom, and holy living. We have to learn to do this together. Because confession is really a prescription for the healing of our soul that God has given us. In Psalms, it says this, when I refuse to confess my sins, this is David, when I refuse to confess my sin, my body wasted away and I groaned all day long. Proverbs says, he who conceals his transgressions won't prosper, but whoever confesses and turns away from his sins will find compassion and mercy. 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And James 5:16 says, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. So again, a confession is this prescription for our soul to be healed. Let's trust the word of God and take that prescription, right? If you trust your doctor and your doctor prescribes you something, you'll say, okay, I'm going to go to the pharmacy, I'm going to get those pills, and I'm going to take them because I trust their advice. Again, Jesus is prescribing confession. And so as a church, we need to make space where we can do this, right? Where this is practiced. This is why we have the courses that we're having, the Braveheart course and the Conquer course. It's why we have the Set Free retreats. At the last Set Free retreat, there was a young lady who said something that I really loved. She said, you know, I really appreciated a space where I can just deal with my stuff, admit my sin, deal with my junk in a place where other believers weren't judging me but loving me. Yeah, we need that, right? We need to learn this in our life. And the reality is it's just hard. So we have to journey together to learn this more and more and more. And I think we have a bit more to learn. I was in Honduras last week, and Compassion Canada invited me on this trip. And I was at a church service, and they were having communion. And the pastor talked about the need to examine our hearts before we take communion. And so then the pastor said this, I'm going to give you guys 1 minute. And if you need to get right before God, do it. If you need to forgive someone in the room, leave your chair, go up to them and ask them for forgiveness. If you need to call someone or text them, do it. And then they said, go. And I should have probably been doing this, but I was kind of like, is this going to happen? Is this real? Are they really going to do this? And people literally did it. They left their chair and they made it right with the people in the room. And again, I think that's amazing that again, they built a community where people could deal with their stuff. Again, we all have stuff to deal with. So if we're going to be a growing church, we're probably going to be a confessing church. Tyler Stanton said this, spiritual maturity means more confession and not less. Maturity is discovering the depths of my personal brand of falseness. I love that, right? Some of us are really good at seeing other people's personal brand of falseness, but you have a personal brand of falseness. You need prayer. Can we admit this morning? Can we say it out loud? I need prayer. And if you don't think you need prayer, you need a lot of prayer. Really, I'm scared for you. Because God is doing a work in our heart, but that work is not finished. And the more I see God, the more it's like Isaiah when he's in the Lord's presence, he says, I have unclean lips. You are holy God. And I want to live in the light of fellowship with you. And I want to be made pure because you've called me to do that. The rest of the quote, it says there is a maturing community is a confessing community. We have to just reverse our thinking about this, right? Sometimes we look at the prayer room and maybe you've judged before, oh, I wonder what they're struggling with. You know, we see going for prayer as a sign of weakness. Maybe it's a sign of strength, right? Maybe when people go to the prayer room, they're just seeing more clearly than ever that, oh man, I need help, right? I think if the line in the prayer room becomes 20 feet, we shouldn't be saying, man, this is a church that needs help. It's like, wow, this is a church that's probably seeing things accurately, right? That we're all broken people. We all need God. We all need his grace. And God invites us into this place where he, again, wants to bring us back into fellowship. He wants us to be children of light. He's made us children of light. And so he wants us to walk in the light where that fellowship happens. So I just encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at, you know, maybe in your life, you're just drifting towards not seeing clearly, and there's just a few places of compromise in your life. If that's you, I pray that the Holy Spirit, listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Don't let your heart harden. Confess your sin. and return to fellowship with God. And maybe you're here this morning and you're lost. You've fallen off the path and you haven't seen it. But now the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes to where you're at. If this is you, confess your sin and return to God. Jesus tells this story of the prodigal son where the son goes and asks for his father's inheritance. That's not good. That's like you want your father to die. Then he blows it all on wild living. And as he's feeding the pigs, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' When he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and, filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' The father accepts the confession, but he doesn't really listen to that last part. But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." At the end of the day, this is all about God wanting this fellowship with you. He wants to restore you to fellowship. This isn't about being legalistic at all and being pure enough to be deserving God's grace. None of us deserve God's grace, but God gives us his grace. So can we stand today and pray? Yeah, God, I pray that you would open our eyes. So if there's places in our life where we're walking in darkness and we're blind, God, help us to see. God, we give the permission of the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin. God, help us to be strong enough to be a community that admits that, oh wow, we're so far away from having it all together. But God, we thank you that you're a God that just asks us to confess our sin and then you bring us back into this fellowship with you where you cover us with a robe to cover our shame. You give us sandals on our feet and a ring on our finger because we're accepted back as a son and daughter and not a slave. And we're part of your family and we celebrate in fellowship together and you give us the grace and the Holy Spirit to empower us to live in this place of fellowship with you and to walk in the light. God, help us to be a church that does this. We love you, God. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If there's anything we can do to help you along in your journey, email prayer@gmchurch.ca. If you'd like to see what's coming up at Gospel Mission Church or learn more about us, visit gmchurch.ca.